Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome everybody to Psychics Gone Wild today. We've had a lot of different things occurring with the show and change-ups and doing different things, and Jethro's moving things around for us. But today we're going to start something different. I've had a lot of people ask questions, make comments about the Cards of Destiny, the birth cards that I use to do my readings and things on air. And what is really surprising to people is they seem to be, you know, excessively accurate. And with so many questions that we've had and fielded, oh, I don't know, in the past several months, we've been doing this since February of this year, we finally decided to just start a class, kind of like what our mermaid Amy Cavanaugh did on Wednesdays when she was doing her chakra classes. And this is going to be about what the birth cards are, how we can use them, how we learn from them, why is it that they're so accurate for us, and that good kind of stuff. So before I start in with doing that this morning, or this afternoon, sorry, it's two different time there, and just going to kind of mention some of the other psychics and intuitives and people who are pretty gifted people on our show. On Mondays, we've been having Aurora Rose. Now, she is going to be moving over to a different time slot. She's going to be on weekends with Psychic Jethro. So those weekend shows are usually on, I want to say the Saturday ones are at 5 p.m. in Pacific time, 6 p.m. in Mountain time, 7 p.m. in Central time, and 8 p.m. out on the East Coast. So that's the Saturday show, and that's going to be Jethro's. And he's going to have Aurora Rose or other people on there with him. And she's probably likely going to be on our sister show, which is Living in the Psychic Realm, which is on, not sure what the schedule for that one is because I'm not over there doing that one. But to find out, all you have to do is dial 714-333-3354, and it'll tell you for that day and that time frame what time they're going to be on and when to call in. On Tuesdays over here on Psychics Gone Wild, we have Pamela Cummins, who is our love and relationship lady. She is at www.successfulrel.com. That's short for successfulrelationship.com. And to book some personal time with her is 973-229-9704, or to visit her website, which is at www.successfulrel.com. She is also on Twitter. If you Twitter Rev Pamela, P-A-M-E-L-A. She's also just got a brand new thing on this Pinterest, P-I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T. She's at Rev Pamela C. She's on Facebook. You can find her at Pamela Cummins, P-A-M-E-L-A. It's C-U-M-M-I-N-S. And that's where to find her. And like I say, she's our she's also known as our musical psychic, because a lot of times what she gets is when she's doing intuitive things, her guides and her angels give her song lyrics, and it's really fascinating to listen to her. She does that on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, we're going to be doing this here with me for a while with the birth cards and finding out what's going on with those. To get a hold of Jethro Smith, and like I say, he's going to be on Fridays and Saturdays this week. He is traveling and he's promoting that book. They're jumping on a plane and going out to the Rocky Mountain area. He's going to be in Wyoming, Colorado, and various places. But to get a hold of him is www.jethrosmith.net. That's J-E-T-H-R-O-S-M-I-T-H.net. And to get a hold of his phone number is 928-284-0437. He is also on Facebook and Twitter. His email is psychicjethro. That's P-S-Y-C-H-I-C-J-E-T-H-R-O at AOL.com. You can shoot him a message there. And he does do the autographed books if people contact him through either his site or his email. Over on our sister show, we have Mystic Celeste. She is at www.celestialreadings.net. That's C-E-L-E-S-T-I-A-L, readings, R-E-A-D-I-N-G-S.net. You can also get a hold of her at 928-554-4422. Also over there, we have Sandra Green. She is at Wiosammy, W-I-O-S-A-M-M-Y, at gmail.com, and she's done some numerology classes over there also. Let's see here. Amy Cavanaugh is another one of our regulars over here. She kind of steps in, fills in, does some pinch hitting. We call her our Florida mermaid because she's with the Weeki Wachee Water Ballet, which is really cool. To get a hold of her, her email is A. Cavanaugh, A CAVANAUGHCPC@gmail.com, or to give her a call at 904-885-8976. She is in the process of being attuned to different levels of Reiki. I know she's got her first level in, and I believe she's working on either the second level or the mastery level. So she is working in the health and healing, and in her alternate life, I guess we call it, is she also is a hospice worker and works with helping to heal people's emotions, that kind of stuff. She's also with several widows groups because her husband died a little while back, and she's really heavily involved with those kind of groups. So it's like she does some life coaching, things like that. And then there's Linda Irwin. She is an amazing lady. She has those, she's our ET and paranormal specialist, if you will. She is at Facebook on Continuum X Headquarters. And the way to spell Continuum is CONTINUUMX Headquarters. And that's at Facebook. She also has some amazing, we were listening to the music there, one of her songs. She's got two CDs out. There's 14 songs on one, and there's 20 songs on another one. And she is asking $10 a piece for those, plus, you know, a couple bucks for some shipping and handling. So if you want to buy those, you can get a hold of her through her email. It is at CNTNUUMX@frontier.com. And again, she's only asking $10 a piece for those CDs, and just whichever one you want to get, or if you want to get both of them. You know, one has 14 songs, and the other has 20. She's also got some stuff on YouTube. She's on www.youtube.com. It's /user/Vorlon, /videos. She's got some things there. And she's at Squidoo on Twitter, Squidoo, @twitter.com. Or if whatever the .com is on Twitter. I'm not sure of the .com address. And then there's myself. I am at 719-289-4907. And I am a Reiki master teacher is one of the things I do. I also do home health products. It's a company called Melaleuca that's been around for many, many years. I've been involved with that company for 21 years. They have environmentally and ecologically very sound products, and they're just amazing. I'm also with another outfit called OrganoGold, gourmet, healthy coffee, tea, hot chocolate, and so on. And that has an ancient herb that's been in use, depending on which source you find, for 4,000 or 5,000 years. And what it does, what we're allowed to say in the United States, because it is an international company, and in the United States we're limited to saying it restores your pH balance, it detoxifies your blood, and it oxygenates your blood, which are three key components of health. In other countries that have this particular product, you Google their stuff, and they simply say it cures, and then they just start listening. I have a series of testimonials that I've talked about on various occasions. I know for myself, I had lost eyesight in my right eye, and I had, a lot of stuff went wrong with it. I had a corneal ulcer. It turned into, got an acanthamoeba parasite in it, and then I ended up with cataracts in it. And I had messed around with, I'm very into herbs, very into natural things. I'm not a surgical doctor type of person. Don't like to do that if I can avoid it. Because, my attitude is that God put every green thing growing on this planet for our good health. And it's like there's nothing that we cannot contract that some sort of plant on this planet cannot cure. So anyway, I messed around for about 5 months trying different things, and I finally ran across this OrganoGold coffee. Now, I was not a coffee drinker because I didn't care for the stuff. It didn't taste good or anything else. But somebody twisted my arm, made me drink a cup of this stuff, or at least taste it, and I said, wow, that's actually good. It doesn't taste, it doesn't have that acid taste, it doesn't have that bitter taste. This really is good for coffee. It's really good. So I said, add some cream and sugar, and I started drinking that stuff, and I never looked back. I ended up joining the company because I'm a cheapskate. I like those wholesale prices, so I started getting that wholesale price delivered to my doorstep, which was amazing and awesome. And in 3 months' time, I only drank one packet of that black coffee a day, and in 90 days, three boxes later, there's in the black coffee, there's 30 servings in a box. My eyesight was back. It had cleaned out all the junk in my eye and that nothing else had touched or done anything with, because I'd had a corneal specialist in Denver tell me that the only way to regain my eyesight was through a corneal transplant. So instead of doing that, I opted for the alternate way that was seemed a lot less invasive, and I am excessively happy that I did that. I know it does amazing things with other people's health. I've known people that have had leukemia, people have had breast cancer, because one of the properties of this herb is that it actually poisons cancer cells. So there are things out there that will work in a natural way without radiation, without chemotherapy, but we just, like I say, we have to be careful in this country what we say because of our lovely FDA, but in the other 19 countries, they're not gagged like that. So we do have some choices. We have some alternative things that are healthy and good for us, and let's see, our psychic Jethro is doing, he's bringing back that coffee special this month, the coffee reading, and if anybody wants to get a 30-minute reading with him, they can buy a box. Call me at the 719-289-4907 and we can get you guys set up to get a 30-minute reading with him for just the price of a box of coffee, which when ordered through the retail site is $30.50 plus the tax. So that's pretty inexpensive for what normal readings are. And if you check out his www.jethro.net site, you'll find out what I mean. But he's really on board with this and wants people to have better health because it helped him quit smoking. There's other people that it has got rid of their high blood pressure. It's got rid of high cholesterol. People, I know there's a gal with fibromyalgia who's pain-free in a week, and she actually started getting more mobility back after that. She's been on it, it's going on 2 years now, but she's now more of an older lady and really has had some amazing things with that. So that's what we look for. So we look for those success stories and say, you know, try this, see what it is, your body chemistry, see how it works, and, you know, give it a go. And if you like it, you know, the best thing is get it for wholesale. All righty. Well, some of the stuff I'm doing today, and I'm going to see how far the instruction part of this goes, and then if we have some time, I'll take callers at the end of this. But people have asked so much, what are the birth cards? What are the destiny cards? Where did they come from? How did they get here? You know, those kind of who, what, when, where, why things. And what we're going to start learning about in this segment, and it's going to be on every week, so it'll be archived, is part of the ancient esoteric science that has been kept secret for centuries. Mystical orders have been in existence since before ancient Egypt and have been carefully preserved. Its secrets truly intact to be released to the public, us, when the time was right. And we're getting in the times now where it's time. We need to know what's been going on here. This is the first system to completely unveil those secrets and show us in detail how to use this card system to learn about our individuals, our past, our present, or even our futures, because it deals in probabilities. We're some of the first people here learning about this, discovering about this. There's been people, you know, every now and then I'll run across and say, yeah, I've heard about that. But it's really not as widespread as I would have expected. This is going to take us through, well, we're going to kind of do a study of the cards. We're going to study each of the 52 cards in the deck. And the system is unique. It involves our common playing cards, which are the, you know, the 52 cards that have the four, the hearts, diamonds, clubs, and spades. And we don't need a deck of cards necessarily to, you know, do a yearly reading, or and we don't need any really psychic powers to this either. But all the cards represent the events and relationship of every month and every year of our life, and it's already kind of chosen for us. It's because what they have is they have all these layouts, and they go from birth to like age 99. So in each individual year, and this is why when I ask, you know, for people's birthday, when I actually do the readings on air, it's like, oh, for your month, day, and year, because each day is specific. It's like there's a card and a different planetary ruler assigned to each day of our year. And that's why I asked for those. And let's see, if we care to look into the future of the past, that information is there. We just have to learn, you know, where to look and how to look at it. Anyone can learn to use this method, you know, to your own advantage, both, you know, novices or professionals. If we're new to this kind of stuff, it's like, it's okay because, you know, we all have to start somewhere. It's like, you know, we all started in kindergarten when we were going through and learning stuff, and that's kind of where we're at today. It's like we're going to kind of start in kindergarten and go forward. If people have tried other, you know, card systems, this, you know, the techniques we use here are really easy to understand and apply. Most anybody can just begin, you know, doing readings within hours of applying what, you know, we're learning here. And then the other question we have is, how specific and accurate is this information? Well, most people who learn it are really surprised by its uncanny accuracy, how it names specific people for dates or events, and often pinpointing exactly what's going to happen and with whom. and other people have used the system, find that it's pretty much 100% accurate. We just have to learn how to do the interpolations of it, okay? After, you know, years, and I've only been using this for around 17 years and studying it, but the more you use it, the more accurate it becomes because your comprehension of it increases. So, you know, kind of like in the beginning, you know, you start pinpointing specific events, like whether it's for your career, whether it's for your finances, whether it's for love and relationship, whether it's like sometimes it even has things that will indicate if you have a family member who's in ill health, you know, who, you know, you may want to take better care of them because, you know, otherwise they have what they all call death cards that, you know, show up. But after using it for a while, you find out it offers other benefits, you know, not expecting. It has its roots in some of our oldest mystical orders, and the information it provides can really be a spiritual guide to help us better understand how and why and when, you know, we create the life that we create and how we do this. In that way, this system is the gateway to an entire philosophy of material and spiritual attainment, a philosophy sustained by one of the oldest spiritual fellowships in existence. It's called the Order of the Magi. What's really fascinating to me is the fact that the first place we really see this in modern history, for those of you who read the Bible, the three wise men who showed up at Christ. Well, it wasn't his birth. They said they found the young child in the house, and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to him. And they called them, you know, the astrologers in the East or the Magi or, you know, just they're going good. They go by different names, but they indeed were using this same card deck, you know, if you will, or the same system to find the Christ child to give him those gifts. So where we actually find it in our, you know, quote, modern history, if you will, is in the Bible. So I thought that was really a very interesting thing. I was like, all right, because I've had people, you know, kind of go, oh, my goodness, you know, this is foretelling, forecasting. It's like, well, it's sort of this, but it's really a system of probabilities. And the folks were going to find out kind of where it came from and, you know, who set it up and this kind of stuff. It's like, they were a bunch of very smart people. anyway, card meetings provide us with alternative approaches to get the greatest from, you know, from situations that arise in our life. And they kind of make suggestions how to get the greatest, you know, most positive benefit from it. We can avoid difficulties through approaching situations with the right attitude. For example, and I'll give an example here. Knowing in advance when the influences are favorable or, say, expansion of your finances or business interests kind of gives you a green light to move forward with confidence. That same principle increases your success in romantic life. So just using the system is sort of like riding at night with your headlights on. You kind of see in advance what's ahead of you. You make the proper adjustments in your course. You arrive quickly and safely at your destination. You know, you avoid the deer on the road. You know, you avoid the pitfalls. You avoid the bridge house, that kind of stuff. So it kind of gives you a heads up as to what's going on. One unique card that they do talk about, because there's only one of them, is the Joker in our deck of cards. There's one birthday of the year that cannot be read by the system, and it's December 31st, which is the birthday of the Joker card. Since the person born a Joker can choose to be any card in the deck, it's impossible to read them. In the days of the kings and courts, New Year's Eve was considered Fool's Day. On that day, the court jester would ascend to the throne and make jest of the king and queen and all the citizens of the court and country. He would imitate them all, showing them the folly of their ways and how absurd some of their pompous drama was. Perhaps this is why the Joker card is an enigma and we can't really read it, because they can literally be anybody who's born on December 31st. You know, the new saying, I guess, is I got nothing, you know, because they can choose to be anybody that they want to be. Where we start with this is our fascinating playing cards. Most people have never really stopped to wonder about the many interesting things associated with our common playing cards. Like, why, for instance, are there 52 cards in a deck? Why are there 4 suits? Why are these, what do these suits represent, if anything? Where did the playing cards come from? And we're going to share some of those interesting connections that our cards have in our world, and kind of reveal why they're actually a calendar system that is intimately connected to our life here on Earth. The deck of cards is our calendar, and we're going to examine some of the things that our little deck and calendar have in common. First of all, there's 4 suits of 13 cards each, total of 52 cards, plus a joker. So we begin with the number 52. Well, what else is there 52 of? It's common knowledge. There's 52 weeks in a year. In numerology, we reduce numbers by adding their digits. So if we reduce the number 52, we get 5 plus 2, which equals 7, which happens to be the number of days in a week, and all the number of visible planets. So 7 is kind of a magical number in many ways, and it's considered the most spiritual number. It's used extensively in many mystical traditions, including the Bible. That's kind of fascinating. We can imagine that sometime in our ancient past, man discovered that a full year comprised something in the neighborhood of 365 days and nights. And technically, as we know from science, it's 365 and one-fourth days. So looking at the heavens, we also notice that sun, moon, and five other visible objects that we now know are planets were circling our sun. Taking that combined number seven, dividing the number of days in a year by it, they came up with 52 cycles, or 52 weeks in a year that we call weeks. The wise ones realized that this number had much more significance and used these simple facts as a springboard for more advanced study. And again, taking the numerology of the cards, we assign numeric values to each of the cards. The aces are ones, twos are twos, and so forth, until we get to the jack. Jack is given a value of 11, the queen is given a value of 12, and the king is given a value of 13. If you take your calculator and add up all those number values of every card in the deck, make a guess what's going to be the result. Well, okay, it's like 4 times 13 for the four kings and 4 times 12 and so on. Well, if you guess 365, that's pretty close. The total actually comes to 364. So we also know that there are, again, 365 and a fourth days in a year. So what happened to the other day in a quarter? There's another card in the deck we haven't counted, and the Joker. And guess what? The Joker's value is exactly that of one and a quarter, which brings the total value of the deck of cards to exactly the number of days in a year, the 365 and fourth days. The 12 quarter cards in the deck represent the 12 months in the year. The Joker, so that would be, if you take all the, jacks, kings, and queens, 3, 6, 9, 12, okay, that's the 12 months in the year. The Joker's value of 1 and 1 quarter comes from the fact that he is all the suits, all the four suits plus himself. He stands apart as a unique balancing element in the scheme of the cards and the many card personalities. The numeric values alone should convince the average person that there's more to a deck of cards than meets the eye. In fact, our deck of cards originated as a tool to make calculations and estimations of time and movements of the Earth and the other planets surrounding our sun. Using the most advanced techniques, a deck of cards has been used to calculate the exact movement of the planets in our solar system. The closer we look at a deck of cards, the more fascinating they become. Every aspect of their construction and design has significance and pertains to the world we live in. Then we go to the seasons and their corresponding suits. Look at the four suits. Our cards are symbols, and everything about them symbolizes something. Well, what do you imagine they represent? The numbers have meanings as well as the suits. If you guess that the suits represent the four seasons and the four elements, water, air, earth, and fire, you're right again. All those four things are connected, as anyone who studies tarot or other astrology systems will tell you. There's a suit for each season and element. Before we examine the suits and their meanings more closely, look up your birth card. It's like, I'm not going to do that for myself at this point in time because, like I said, I've done this for a long time, but we definitely will be looking at other people's. That's what we've been doing is doing readings with that, and we check out other people's birth cards in the course of the show here. The first year of the season is spring. Animals, are bearing their young, April showers bring Mayflowers, Mayflower brings pilgrims, that's a joke. Anyway, in the first season of our life, we're surrounded by the love and caring of our parents and the family. So that season, the spring, so filled with love and life-giving rain, is represented by the suit of hearts, which is the element of water and would be the suit of cups in the tarot. In the Book of Destiny system, hearts card represents love and relationships. If your personal birth card is one of the heart suits, you are a person whose main form of expression and whose personal karma is worked out through the vehicle of relationships. In addition, if you're a heart, you're essentially childlike in your nature, and you relate well to children. You may even work with them. Hearts are the children of the deck, regardless of their physical age. They also say they're the young people of the deck. No matter what your birth card is, when any of the heart cards appear in your yearly spreads, they're going to be referring to the status or quality of your relationships, or will tell you changes to that status or quality. All of the marriage cards and most of the divorce cards are hearts. The next season is summer. During the summer season's life, love and family no longer surround us as much. Instead, we find ourselves occupied by school, books, and knowledge. And this season, we leave the love and tears of childhood behind and turn our attention to more educational pursuits. The suit that corresponds to summer is clubs, which is the element of air. This is the same as the swords in the suit of tarot. Clubs represent the status of our mind and mental pursuits, acquisition of knowledge, and communications. Those who are born in the suit of clubs work with ideas, points of view, and the ability to communicate. They're also known as the scholars of the deck. For them, the idea and concept of a person or thing is often just as important as the thing itself. Clubs are the eternal college students, usually eager to learn new things and interested in the details of life. When you find clubs college in your yearly readings, they're going to tell you about the status of your mind, your ability to communicate, and the success or failure of your mental pursuits and interests. Those pursuits would include publishing, teaching, writing, public speaking, going to school, anything that goes in those areas. In the autumn season, we're harvesting the fruits of our efforts, reaping the riches we have sown in the soil of our lives. In the autumn season of life, we generally accumulate wealth and property. Diamonds represents this third season, kind of the effects of the deck. And they coincide with the element of earth, and which is also known as the suit of pentacles if you're in the tarot deck. The most common meaning of diamonds is money, which is our mundane and our values and how we work in this system. But on a deeper level, they represent what we most value in life. Those born as diamond cards work out their karma with monies and values. Diamonds are like the adults in the deck, and diamond children do not like being treated as anything other than adults. And speaking with myself, they've got two diamond children. I can absolutely go with that one. They didn't want to be children even when they were. When diamonds appear in your yearly spread, they're usually referring to the status of changes to your money supply, finances, and council affect career and jobs. All the money cards are diamond cards, though some of them point to the status of your basic value system. In the winter season, that's death and transformation as you reign supreme. After the harvest, winter sets in, and much of what was born in the spring dies away. In the winter season of life, we prepare for and eventually experience our own death. Health concerns become more prominent, as well as interest in our spiritual life. Also, when you're in career, spades represent really hard workers. A lot of the spades people, it's like, think of a garden out there and hoeing with your hoe, and that's what they go like. Though the shadow of the grave digger spade is ever present in our mind, so too is the promise of a new spiritual life. This promise, which is like a phoenix rising from the ashes, makes the winter suit, the suit of spades, the most powerful suit. This transformative quality of the last period of our life connects spades to the element of fire and the suit of wands in the tarot. Spades are more complicated suit in some ways, too. They represent work and health on a basic material level, but on a deeper level, they represent spirituality and the condition of our inner fire. All of the traditional deck cards are spades. Those born as spade cards usually have very strong materialistic nature or a very spiritual nature, sometimes both, and then we argue. In any case, they're very hard-working people. Spades are the old people of the deck. It's like, yeah, tell this when you have spade children. It's like, wow. And they don't like being treated like children either. But they often show more wisdom and maturity at an early age. They usually focus much of their attention on the perfection of their work. And I've got two little spade children who they really want to absolutely do things perfectly well. When spade cards are found in your yearly spreads, they'll be telling you about the status or changes in your work or health. On a deeper level, spades tell you about the status of your spiritual endeavors. Specifically there, when we look at the Ace of Spades, if you get out a deck of cards right now, look through them, you'll notice that the Ace of Spades is much different than the other aces in the deck. First of all, it's got a much larger symbol in the center of the card. Secondly, on many decks, you'll find that the center spade symbol has been ornately decorated, often, really beautifully. Usually manufacturers place their, company name on this card somewhere. And, the question is, do you know why the Ace of Spades is so different? Well, the answer there is most of the manufacturers don't even know it, but it's because the Ace of Spades is a card that represents the Order of the Magi and the secret societies of old. It is one card above all others that represents the secrets that are there to be discovered by studying the cards in depth. In our system, the Ace of Spades represents secrets as well. It's the card that represents the science of the cards. The Ace of Spades has always been a symbol of death as well. It's likened to a single bullet that ends our life. Many cultures have used this card in film and literature as a death symbol. If you think some of the old movies where the gambler, with something they throw out the Ace of Spades and all of a sudden he croaked, it holds true there as well. The Ace of Spades is one of the more powerful symbols for personal transformation, and sometimes that involves physical death. There's this little book called The Book of Seven Thunders. And we've learned a little bit about the links, and we're going to be examining those in more depth, that our cards have to our world. We're going to look at a little bit of the history And there's a verse in the Bible that we're looking at. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things uttered by the seven thunders, and write them not. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and devoured it. And to my taste, it was sweet as honey, but as soon as I had devoured it, it became bitter unto my inside. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And that's from Revelation chapter 10, verses 4, 10, and 11. The first known book ever published about this system of self-understanding and, I hate to call it propheticness, I call it probabilities, because it's always a probability, because we always have free will as a choice, and it's like we can look at these things and go, okay, if I see something come I really don't like, I can take an alternate path. So you always have free will in there. But the first book ever published, known book in our modern times, is called the Mystic Test Book. And it's by Olney Richmond, R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D. It was originally published in 1893. Mr. Richmond was, at the time, he was called the Grand Master of the secret society known as the Order of the Magi. He claims that his order was instructed since the days of Egypt to keep the secrets of the cards alive and protected until the proper time for the revelation, their revelation to the world. Olney Richmond claimed that the above passage from Revelation, if translated with awareness of the subtleties of spiritual discernment, reveals that the little book mentioned is the book of our same 52 cards. According to Mr. Richmond, these passages clearly indicate that their mission to keep their secrets hidden from the reach of the common man until the time was right is kind of upon us, was upon us when he started publishing his book. So it's been around for a while, just not widely known. Whether it's true or not, the interesting thing is to note this book was the first book to reveal any of these secrets. No other books have been found with any similar materials prior to that time. Richmond goes on to explain how the cards must have originated in Atlantis, since like all major civilizations claim their invention, then goes on to explore many other facets of the cards that are both fascinating and amazing. Having read the book, and it's like I haven't read it several times, but I have read that when I got that. It was really interesting. It's like there's things in there that this gentleman, he could do, he could take the cards themselves and just go through them. He could tell you what phase the moon was in. He could do, you know, just all kinds of, if you will, card tricks, okay? But there's just a lot of topics in that book. But based on, you know, what I have learned so far, that if we were to completely understand the numbers and the meanings, we would have a tool that would easily give us specific information about any area of life or science. Mr. Richmond's book is really a fascinating one, and it still can be purchased at some of the metaphysical bookstores. It's like, I know there's one space on place online, and I'll have to look that up and give that one out next time. I know there's a www with it, but I think it's the seventhunders.com. I'm not positive of that, but I'll look that up to make sure I've got that right. The other interesting fact is just that over the years, card manufacturers have tried unsuccessfully to print cards with different faces on the queens, kings, and jacks. Even today, if you go into some of the larger game stores, you sometimes find, you know, other kinds of playing cards. You know, some have oriental characters and faces of famous people, you know, all that. But at any rate, if you ask any of the card manufacturers, pretty much they tell you that those variations of cards never really sell that well. Richmond claimed that the reason the other variations of the cards do not sell is that the decks of cards have a mystical potency, which maintains the integrity of the original design. For this reason, he says, the other cards don't sell well. Olney says that the members of their order were instructed to never deface, alter, or otherwise change the cards in any way. And for this reason, also, we personally, you know, recommend that when you choose cards to do weekly readings, or, you know, choose cards that are of the original design and avoid cards that are different. It's like, you know, just your typical, like, you know, what you can get from Hoyle, or, you know, the Rider back cards or things like that. This would include cards that would have, like, either large numbers or reduced faces. So just kind of stick with the old standbys, and your chances of obtaining an accurate reading are increased. It's like, again, not positive why, but there's some reason and purpose that they, you know, have those, the faces on them that they do. Okay, well, that is the first bits of information and things that we have going through here. And I'm going to say hello to our room here. It's like, hello, Becky and Linda. We have Oriel and we have C-Rita. It's like, thank you guys for stopping by here today. I appreciate that. I've been kind of, yep, I'm starting classes on the birth cards. I totally am. That's what we're doing today, and that's going to be an archive. at this point, it's like if anybody wanted to call in and say, okay, hey, you know, I've listened to this segment. What's my birth card for today? It's like, you know, we can absolutely do that. And failing that, it's like I'm going to go ahead and get a little bit on some of the other ones. There's more to chapter one, if you will. In the beginning was a card. We have a couple things that we use here, and people have gone through and they've calculated like all these, like I say, there's for every card in the deck, there's just pages and pages of calculations and things that go on. Okay, and we do have a caller here. Let me go and see if they have a question or a comment or just want their birth card done today. All right, and you're on live with us. It's like it's a one, and then it's a 1-1-3-1. So are you live with us here?
Yes, I am.
All righty. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Who am I talking with today?
Lily.
Lily, all righty. Well, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I was just curious if you would be able to tell me who's the spirit that's around me.
Okay, if I can tell you who's what around you? I didn't quite...
The spirit that's around me. I feel that there's a presence in my home, and I was curious as to who it might be.
Oh, boy. I'm not... I will be the first to say that's not my necessarily area of expertise here. What I am going to refer you to is, and I'm just going to got to sit here and meditate a little bit while I talk to you and see if I can pick anything up.
Okay.
One thing I'll ask is, how old is this home? It's like, is it like really old, or like, do you have an idea of when it was built?
I think it may be someone that's older, like a parent age.
Okay, but you're in the geographical location is like the house that you're in right now, where the spirit's at. Do you know the age of the house?
Well, it's an apartment, and I really don't know the age. I'm sure it's pretty old.
Okay. All righty. So there's a possibility that this might be someone who was maybe an older person who might have lived there previously, and they kind of are one of those people that might be in between places that they don't quite know where to go.
I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that there's a presence.
You pretty have a presence here. Are there things happening that are negative, or is it kind of, you know, what we call benign? Is it just somebody that's kind of hanging there, or are they actively doing things that are, you know, not so nice?
No, just someone hanging here. There's nothing negative.
Just hanging. Okay. All right. My sense of it is you know, and like I say, this is not my best field. So it's like I'll just kind of give you what I got, and I'm going to recommend it to some other folks that do. But what I would think, I mean, what kind of feels like to me is maybe it was just somebody who lived there in a previous time, and they just, you know, they passed over, and it was either, you know, some place that they liked and they kind of went back to, or else it was, you know, a previous tenant, something like that. That they just really like the place and space, and it's just familiar to them. So it's like, because there's places in between, you know, where people, if they're not real spiritual and they don't have that strong sense of, you know, you go to the light, you know, you go to God, that kind of stuff, they can get kind of stuck. So, you know, it could be something like that. But what I will recommend is call back in our show. Now, tomorrow we have Linda Irwin, and she does, she's our ET paranormal person, and she gets, you know, good feelings and vibes. So that's, again, that's at 773-897-6461. There we go. We also have a sister show, and there's some really talented people over there. And the other one is Living in the Psychic Realm. And the number for that is 714-333-3354. But I do know that, like I say, I know Linda does good with her, you know, talking with her group. Pamela on Tuesdays, she has her psychic angel group, and it's like, you know, they give her messages and that kind of stuff. And then there's our master psychic, Jethro. He is normally on Fridays and Saturdays. I believe he's going to have somebody pitch it for him on Friday, but I know Saturday he'll be on our Saturday show, which airs at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and I'm not sure what time zone you're in. It'd be 5 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Central, or 8 o'clock Eastern. So if you're, you know, whatever time zone you're in kind of across there, if you call into that 773, the same one you called in, he will be on air. And he does He has a much better sense of that because he, you know, talks to people on the other side like that. And it's like when you talk to him, he can kind of pick up through you, you know, like who is there, who they are, what they want, you know, that kind of stuff. So I would definitely recommend, you know, call that because, you know, everybody has their strengths and abilities. And I know people have really been hammering me and saying, well, don't say you're not psychic. I'm like going, well, you know, people are so afraid of that psychic word. So I just go, well, okay, fine. I'm intuitive. You know, I've got some of that. But what I really do is the card system. And it's like, and I love it, but it doesn't tell me a lot about, you know, people kind of on the other side, unless you had their birthday, in which case I could definitely tell you stuff about them.
Okay.
But I totally would, you know, say just call, you know, call back in a different day and time. Like I say, Linda's on tomorrow, and then I know Amy's going to be on Friday. Now, she's a gal with Reiki and that kind of stuff. She's kind of learning that discipline, and she oftentimes gets, you know, gets vibes. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, Linda or Jethro definitely would hit that nail on the head for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. All righty. That's probably my caller for the day. I was like, all right, let's see how much time I actually have left. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I've got actually 13 minutes left, which is not nearly as much as I thought I did. Wow, this has been a really fast hour for me today, guys. I'm just going to make sure that I get hopefully some of the rest of this out here and make sure we do the advertisements at the end of this. Yeah, yahoo. Okay. So some of the stuff that this does is we look at people for individuals, you know, as an individual person, and we can also do people with groups of things. So because we have one that's called the love cards, but the love cards actually examine our relationships. Either, you know, you can look at if you have your child's teacher's, you know, birth card, you can look at that relationship between your student and the teacher. You can look at it, you know, when you have parent-teacher relationships, you know, you can, or conferences, you know, you can go and look at that. We can look at things, you know, how our relationship is with our children, with our grandchildren, with our spouses, with people we do business with people, you know, friendships, partnerships. It doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic relationship. Alrighty. There's also some other stuff here I'm going to share a little bit. We have things here that we need to learn meanings of the birth cards. We need to figure out what the planetary ruling cards are, what the karma cards is, the personality cards. We're going to look at all those. And our personal significators. In this system, there's many cards that act as symbols of who we are. And we're going to go through and discuss each one of those kind of individually. But just to get the overview and what, you know, kind of follows their relative importance, there's the birth card, which is the most important of all our personal significators. It's called our soul's identity in the current lifetime. Next we have is the planetary ruling card, and it's the second most important personal significator. The card that we express often comes through our work and life. Our karma cards reflect past life gifts and areas where we have spiritual growth and challenge, except there is a special family of seven cards, and we're going to look at those here in a minute. And then we have personality cards. We have roles that we can choose to play at any time in our life, but not really a strong identity unless we make it so. Again, you know, you can, that free will, you can choose to do that. Change, you know, we can change this at will. It's kind of like our optional identities. In our birth card system, each day of the year is assigned one of the 52 cards in the deck. And actually there's 53 because, again, that December 31st belongs to the Joker. But we don't talk about the Joker because he's a mystery. He stands apart for many reasons and can't be used like the others. We do have a discussion about the Joker kind of later on. And, you know, my goal here is to get through each of the 52 cards, you know, plus that Joker. So by the time we get done with this lecture series, hopefully, everybody will at least be able to go back in the archives and go, yeah, okay, and this is what for this day, and this was this day. So it's like, yeah, we'll have some really cool things to look at. Okay, for the rest of birthdays, one card rules each day, and it's not an even distribution. It's an uneven distribution. We'll quickly find that there doesn't really seem to be a definable system for determining which card falls upon, you know, each day. For example, there's, you know, kind of roughly twice as many diamond and clubs birthdays, which are as there are the hearts and spades, and it's like the hearts are the springtime cards, but actually they kind of, interestingly enough, they kind of fall in the winters. The spades cards are in the winters, and diamonds and clubs seem to go through kind of the middle of the year. Also, some of the cards like the King of Spades and the Ace of Hearts only have one birthday in the entire year, while other cards like the King of Clubs and the Ace of Diamonds, you have 12 of those. You know, if born, you have a better option in your probabilities, you know, to be born on one of those days. In reality, there is a very particular system and reasoning behind which cards fall on each day. And then that's, again, this, like we're, this is just the overview, so we're going to look at those as we go along. But the birth card can be called the sun card, much like our sun sign in astrology. It's the card that ruled our planet on the day we were born. People under certain cards' rulerships all share some distinguishing traits, though there's a lot of varieties in the way those traits can be expressed. Sometimes we have a lot of different, you know, different beliefs out there, and some of them are that that we kind of choose the day, you know, in our spiritual life before we come down and become human, that we kind of choose the day we're going to be born. So choosing a certain birth card can be kind of seen as a limitation, sort of a box we put ourselves in for this lifetime, and it's based on what we came here to learn. Some people may not like that notion, but, you know, like it or not, it affects us on our everyday choices. Every choice in life can be viewed as a limitation because any choice we make then automatically excludes other choices. So, if you look at your fingers and your thumb on your hands and go, okay, I got five choices, but as soon as you choose that one choice and, you know, you choose one thing, you start walking down that path, it's like, okay, you're not doing those other four. But you get to a crossroads and you go, oh, you know what? I decided I didn't like this one. So, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to choose one of those other five probabilities. And it's like, you know, by the time you're to the next block, so to speak, you might have some other, you might have 10 choices, okay? But our birth card is the strongest and most important symbol of who we are in this lifetime. There's other cards we talk about, but we know that the birth card is the most important. And we just never want to lose sight of that one detail. If we studied only people's birth cards, we would have a lot of information, but the birth card is our soul's essence. It's a card with which we most strongly identify ourselves. Another example for queens. Queens usually see themselves as mothers of one sort or another, even if, you know, if men can have a queen birth card, women can have a king birth card, you know. But all the queens will be kind of motherly, nurturing people throughout their entire life. And it's part of their innermost identity. As we read about our birth cards, we can see and recognize parts of ourselves. Each card has a high expression, a low expression. You know, I call that the flip side, you know, take the high side and I'll take the low side. So even though you may be choosing to manifest the highest quality of your birth card, we still have that availability, kind of like the yin and yang. If we're having a bad day, we can totally flip that over and go, okay, I'm not, you know, you don't consciously go, I'm on the low side of the day, but it's like your actions, you know, it's like until you really start thinking about it. But we are the sum total of our birth card, not just one side of it. It's our choice as to which side we choose to present to the world. Later, we might discover we have significant relationships with people who are like mirror image card-wise. And those cases, the partners, a lot of times manifest the opposite qualities of that same card expression. So for now, we just be open to what, you know, can be represented about us in the birth card description and kind of reserve that judgment until you've had time to see the entire picture. The birth card descriptions are listed in groups of four. So we've got, you know, the aces together, twos, and so on. So that's kind of what I've been trying to figure out, whether I want to go through and do all the cards in a suit or whether, you know, we're going to do all the aces and then all the twos. Because they all have, when you group them like, you know, aces, twos, and that, it's like the aces all have certain properties. And then you go kind of go through and pick through each of the suits, you know, and kind of go, okay, this is what's different about the ace in these different suits. And that might make more sense. The other thing we look at is questions on, this is the only time time is important in the birth card system. The question is, are we born around midnight? Okay, guess what? There's an important note. For people who are born close to midnight, we may not be the card we think we are. The understanding behind which card governs each day of the year is really particular and specific. It uses what we call true solar time to determine a time and day of birth. If you were born within an hour of midnight or in a place that was observing daylight savings time, or if the location of your birthplace is far away, either to the east or the west, from the standard time meridian for the time zone which you were born, like out here in Idaho, I'll take for example, I look at the sun and go, okay, we're in mountain time, but really and truly, we could probably be in Pacific time because we're so close to the, or we're like, you know, 4 or 5 miles from the Oregon border. And it's like a lot of times it just feels like, I mean, from where we came in Colorado and Wyoming, it feels like we're actually an hour earlier. So, you know, there's that moment too. Our actual time of birth might be put, it might put us either a day ahead or a day behind what was recorded on our birth certificate. We use a system called time zones where everybody, you know, within a certain geographical band observe the same time on their watches. But the sun could care less about the time on your watch because it's moving along. When it's directly overhead, it's noon, regardless of what your watch says. So its time is what we call true solar time, as opposed to the observed time that everyone in our time zone has kind of agreed to call accurate. So in many cases, there can be a wide variance between true solar time and the observed time, since some time zones are pretty wide. So it can throw the time of your birth off a little bit, sun-wise, by as much as an hour. In addition, if you have that daylight savings time, it can throw another monkey wrench into calculation, so you know, you might be as much as 2 hours off. So you could actually have another hour difference in your actual time of birth versus the old tried and true sundial time. The Book of Destiny system strictly uses what we call true solar time. So if you're thinking that your birth card description doesn't quite fit you and you know you were born close to midnight, it's worth checking that out. Okay. Well, indeedy here. We have some other, okay, I'm going to see what our time left is here and see how much time I have to go on this. And Linda, thank you for being in there. Oh, I've got 3 minutes left. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap that up for the day, and I will continue with our planetary ruling cards and how they kind of correspond, the sun sign with the ruling planet, and about people born on the cusps. And a lot of times, you know, we'll ask people, you know, are you born on the cusp, or do you, you know, have you had your Western astrology actually run? So, you know, are you, like, for example, are if you're on the cusp of Leo and Cancer, you know, do you know if you're Leo? Do you know if you're Cancer? Because it makes a big difference in what your planetary ruling card is. Just those kind of things. So I know as we get more along into this, but of course, you know, we have fun with the people that call in the first time, you know, for our first time call-ins, because we kind of, you know, catch them up to speed a little bit and go, okay, here's what I need, you know, and then they get intrigued with it. They call back and say, wow, that was really amazing. You know, it's like, let's hear some more about this. It's like, all righty, let's indeed do that. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap up for today here a little bit and just do some of the announcements. Again, to get a hold of our different and various people who are on, we have Pamela Cummins, who is on Tuesdays with us. To get a hold of her, she is at www.successfulrel.com. She is at 973-229-9704. She's on Twitter, Rev Pamela. She also just recently got into Pinterest. It's P-I-N-T-E-R-E-S-T, and I think that's pretty much a .com one also. She's also on Facebook at Pamela Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S. You can find her there. To locate our master psychic, Jethro Smith, he is at www.jethrosmith.net. He's at 928-284-0437. He's also on Facebook and Twitter. And his email, there we go, I keep trying to call it Gmail, but it is really email, is Psychic Jethro, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, Jethro, J-E-T-H-R-O, at AOL.com. And you can get a hold of him, either call or email to book a reading, or get an autographed copy of his book, or check out, if you go to that website, to check out when he's offering classes. Mystic Celeste is another one of our readers. She is at www.celestialreadings.net, and her number is 928-554-4422. We have Aurora Rose. She's at www.auroraRosePsychic. That's AuroraRosePsychic at .web.com is her website place. And you can get a hold of her at 270-259-2584. Her Gmail account, she is at AuroraRosePsychic at Gmail. And then we have Amy Cavanaugh, our Florida Mermaid. She is at 904-885-8976. And she does a lot of different things. She has Awakening Claire on Facebook. Then we have our awesome lady, Linda Irwin. She is our ET and paranormal person, and she's also got some amazing music, which I'm hoping I'm going to have a little bit of time to play some of that. I got 90 seconds. Great. I love those announcements. She's at Squidoo on Twitter. It's Squidoo. She is also on Facebook at Continuum X Headquarters, a Continuum X Headquarters at Facebook. And then she's at www.lindaru. It's lindaru.blogspot.com. She's also on YouTube with that www.youtube.com/user/Vorlon, V-O-R-L-O-N, God, / videos. And for sale, she's got some really, really cool music out, and we keep playing that on these shows here. And to get your copy of one of her CDs, you write to her at her email is cntnuumx@frontier.com. She's only asking $10 for those musical CDs, and if you can throw in a dollar or two extra for some shipping and mailing, that would be incredibly awesome also. And let's see, and I'm Kelly. I'm at Casey Birth Cards. I'm at 719-289-4907. And that looks like our show for the day. So, all righty. Everybody have an awesome one, and thank you, Linda, for typing all those in. I really appreciate it. Oh, and she's got 34 songs for a 2-CD set. It's $20 plus the shipping. Okay, that's what she's got on there. Thank you. I will write that down and note that. So $20 for her 2-CD set gives you 34 songs plus the shipping. And I think it's going to cut us off faithfully here. So everybody have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again.